listening to the Get Messy podcast, and I'm Sandra Busby.
And I'm Tara Roskell.
Gotta get messy and show the world you're growing as an artist. And you're free to be yourself. You got a dream, you need to start it. Stick together. Get Messy says you're formally invited to a community where you can find people that spark the feel of excitement. Too many art supplies, not enough time. No, it's tough, and so you must find a way to feel some connection. We got a lot of people with the same kind. A great mind, we're here for you. A platform so we can hear your views. Time's yours, forget chores. I know you're bored of them same rules.
Hey Messy Artist, you are going to love this episode. I'm chatting with Tara and Sandra from Kicking the Creatives. And if you don't know them yet, by the end of this episode, you are going to fall just as in love with them as I have. And good news for you, because they've got their own podcast and you can binge listen to them and just take in everything that they have. Kicking the Creatives is a place where you can find creative challenges, and they're all listed by month. They're all there for you, so you never get that FOMO for missing out on a creative challenge. It's run by Sandra Busby and Tara Roskell. And Sandra is a still life artist, and she's best known for her paintings, which are incredible. Like, you should really check them out. I can't understand how they are not photographs. But Sandra mainly does a lot of paintings of glass and other reflective objects. And she didn't actually mean to get into fine art. It actually happened by accident. We'll talk a little bit about her story in the episode. And she found her partner in crime with Tara Roskell, who took the traditional art college route. She didn't really know what to do with her art, and so she moved into graphic design. Now she's been in that industry for over 20 years and is now freelancing. When she's not designing, she's scribbling, doodling, and taking part in these creative challenges, and you should really look at her work too. It'll give you a good idea of the type of person you're listening to and the person that I'm chatting to today. You should see her portraits. They are so unique and they are so inspiring, and they definitely encouraged me to hone in on my own style rather than trying someone else's. Anyway, we had a wonderful chat and I'm really excited for you to listen to it. Hey Tara, hey Sandra, and welcome to the Get Messy podcast.
Hello.
Hello, thank you for inviting us.
Yeah.
I'm really excited. We had a chat last week for me to be on your podcast, which was amazing, wonderful. And I love both of your views on creativity and art and the creative process and all of that. So in this episode, I just want to really dig into them.
Okay.
Well, let's start off with each of you individually, and then we can get to why I'm talking to you as a pair. So maybe, Tara, if you want to tell the person listening a little bit about you.
I did the traditional route and went to art college. Always wanted to do art. In fact, when I was about three, I wanted to be a famous artist, which is quite ambitious for a three-year-old, I guess. And then I guess I didn't know which direction to go. Probably a bit like you've said before with your passive thing. It's like, I've no idea what to do with art. So one of my tutors said, what about graphic design? So I was like, right, okay, I'll do graphic design, which was probably totally unsuitable for me. So I've basically done that for 25 years. I've been freelance probably for the last 15, but my passion for it, I don't know if I ever had total passion for it, to be honest, but I'd stopped drawing. I still did a little bit of digital stuff and some idea stuff, but I'd stopped drawing by hand. And I guess it was only when I met Sandra, I'd started a podcast and I interviewed Sandra, and it's through us connecting that I actually started drawing again, through a challenge, actually. I don't know if you want me to tell you what the challenge was.
That's amazing. Yes. Tell us the challenge. What was the challenge?
It was, does alcohol make you more creative? It was very scientific.
this is coffee, by the way. I just want to point that out.
The idea was basically we would set ourselves a series of tasks where we would do it without drinking anything, and then drinking 3 units of alcohol. So one was to draw a bottle, to write a poem. I can't remember, we did about 3 different tasks.
Create an advert.
Oh, that was it. Create the ideas for an advert. So yes, we did these. And it was probably the first time I tried to draw properly, as in shade and everything, a bottle. I'd done, you know, obviously little scribbles to work out designs for graphics. And I thought, it felt really alien to be drawing like that again. But I thought, do you know what? I quite like it. And I think from there, that got me doing things by hand again. It was like the spark that started it off again.
That's yeah. Awesome. So, okay, the main question I have from that was, did you meet Sandra when you were on the alcohol, like drunk? Was that when you were like really connected?
No. I basically heard Sandra on another podcast. And at the time I had my own podcast and I was just interviewing different creatives from all different sort of areas of creativity. So I said, oh, do you fancy coming to mine? So I interviewed Sandra all about her art. And then afterwards, I don't know how long we were talking. It was a long time anyway. And she said to me, because mine was the second podcast she'd done, and she was terrified in the first one, slightly less terrified doing mine. And I said, well, you talk so much. You should have your own. Something along those lines. And then she goes, oh, no, I'd never do that. But, you know, I wouldn't mind trying co-hosting one. And so we started co-hosting a few of my episodes. And then we started our own. But the funny thing was, we hadn't met. We've been doing the podcast, I guess, for 6 months, do you think, Sandra? Maybe? We hadn't met.
I think it was closer to a year.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Probably. And then your husband secretly, I knew about it, obviously, but secretly set up a meeting. So him and Sandra would come and meet me and my partner, and which was so weird.
It was, wasn't it? Yeah. I turned up, my husband said, I've booked a spa weekend. Oh, how lovely. And then he said, well, we were driving for what seemed like hours. I was like, why are we going to a spa hotel all the way up here when there's thousands of them just around where we live? And he said, oh, no, this is a really nice hotel and there was an offer on. And I thought, oh, okay, fair enough. And so we had this spa day, and then we went into the bar that night, and I turned round and I had to do a double take because I thought, that's Tara. I was literally, oh my God. Only dogs could have heard me. I was that high pitched. And I couldn't believe it, but I actually thought at that moment that it was a coincidence, which is so funny. I really did. I couldn't believe it. And it turned out, yeah, my husband and my daughter actually had been sort of coerced into, you know, I think my husband had got my daughter to text you or something and somehow contact you, and it had all been arranged. And it was amazing. But we didn't stop talking that night either, did we?
No, we didn't. No.
And it's quite funny because people say, you know, that could have gone either way, because it's very different having a chemistry via a computer or on the phone. And then meeting, because everything can be so different, can't it? And it was fine. It couldn't have gone better, could it, Tara? And I haven't shut up ever since, according to her.
Oh, I love it. It makes me feel all warm and fuzzy inside that you have such a beautiful love story.
Well, that was January 2018, wasn't it, Tara?
No, us from Startic in Crete, so that would have been before. I don't know.
No, it would have been 2017 when we met.
Was it?
And then 2018 when we launched Kicking the Creatives. Yeah. And as Tara said, it was that those challenges that triggered that little idea. Well, why don't we do something with this? Because these challenges are obviously something. They obviously really do something and trigger things. So let's work on something. So that's how Kicking the Creatives was born.
Mm. And Sandra had also done challenges in the past, hadn't you? Because you'd gone through a bit of a slump with your art. So you'd, years ago, got together with another blogger, hadn't you? And you started doing a painting. Was it a painting a week you were doing?
So what happened was, yeah, I'd been doing a lot of painting, and then I, like Tara said, I just, you know, sometimes you just go through those dry spells and you panic. You think, oh my God, you know, why don't I feel like painting today? And you think there's something wrong with you and you think you've lost it and you've lost the spark. And it just so happened I was in contact also with a friend in New York, another artist, brilliant artist. And we used to email to and fro, still do from time to time. And it just so happened that when I emailed her and I said, oh, I'm going through such a slump at the moment. And she said, oh, I can't believe it. You've literally just said exactly how I'm feeling. I feel exactly the same. I feel like I can't, everything I do is rubbish and I don't even want to do it anyway. I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't seem to have any inspiration. So we came up with this idea that we would each think of, we'd start a blog and we would each think of five words. And then the five words, out of the five words, one of us would get to pick a word which we'd use for inspiration that month. And then we both had to create a painting during that month, or as many paintings as you wanted to, you know, which was based around that word. It was so fun. And because I was only doing 8x8s about that big, because I could do maybe four of them in a month. And I'll tell you, in that 6 month, no, I think it was about a year we had that blog. And I had never been so productive and neither had she. So it was really, really good. And then it got to the point where we had our own blogs anyway. And we both said, you know, this is done exactly what we needed it to do for us. But we didn't really want to turn it into something where, you know, it's ongoing, because we just wanted to do our own thing then. So, yeah, so we took the blog off. But, yeah, it really kick-started, you know, that wanting to paint again, which was great. Mm. But with Tara, you'd gone to the traditional route. I hadn't, and I was sort of largely self-taught. I tried the art school route. I didn't really start painting or drawing until I was in my very early 30s. And I'm in my now. My very late. Yeah, I'm in my late 40s now, so it's quite a long time. But I had been doing, because I've got two children, they've left home now, but I'd been doing murals on my kids' walls with just emulsion paint. And that was what triggered the spark for me to start painting. I really, really just got this bug. And then I went on a little weekend away with a friend of mine who used to sketch. And I remember saying to her, you know, can I have a little look through your sketchbook? And she's a very good friend of mine. So, you know, it's not like I was asking her a stranger, but she said, oh no, that's fine. So I had a look, but I was intrigued because she spent 2 days clutching this sketchbook and did not open it once. And I just thought, well, if I could do that, I would never stop. And, I just thought, I just really know that this is what I want to do. So I decided that I needed a piece of paper to prove that I could be an artist by going to an art school. So I enrolled in an art school, absolutely hated every second of it. Didn't teach me anything I wanted to know. It was just wasn't me. And I wanted to sort of learn the more traditional methods. And the art school was more about breaking the rules, which was great, but I wanted to learn what they were before I could break them, but they weren't teaching that side of thing. So shut myself away for a year, studied all of those traditional methods, and kind of just started owning my skills really, and just trying to just worked and worked and worked really hard. But then I realized that when I met Tara, it was funny because what I wasn't doing much of, which I really wanted to do, was sketching. I really wanted to sketch. That's what I wanted to do. But I'd fallen into realism painting, which is completely different. And as much as I love it, I was missing that fun side. And when we did these little challenges, that's what sparked me to start being much more experimental and sketching a lot more. And so I feel, have been really good for each other. We've brought something out in each other that we probably may not have found. So, and
really bad for each other probably as well.
And very bad for each other. Yeah. I was at a disadvantage with that alcohol
challenge, you were. Though. Yeah, but it was your own fault, wasn't it?
It was my own fault. I totally miscalculated how many units were in a bottle of beer. I don't like wine.
And then I had too many?
I was on 6 units, which isn't much really when you think about it. When you're trying to draw,
yes,
though.
It is.
So I was at a real disadvantage.
I think it's like very typical British to say, oh, 6 units of alcohol, not that much.
I'd be on the floor with 6 units of alcohol.
Yeah. It's obviously helped forge that like friendship and that bond that can never be broken ever.
I think we just get each other. I think we have a similar sense of humour.
Yeah, Sandra must be the only person who sent me the weirdest pictures. Like, here's some rude vegetables. A text with some rude vegetables.
I get texts from Tara saying, stop talking. Which is really
during
funny.
During a podcast, that is.
Yeah, during a podcast. Stop talking.
So Sandra, you said that you look at your friend's sketchbook and you said, if I could do it like that, I would never stop. So do you feel like now that you can do that, do you feel the same way?
I will never stop drawing now. I know that. And if I don't for any length of time, for more than a few days, then I'll get, I don't know what, I can't explain what it is. It's like, it's just, I've got this itch somewhere and I need to scratch it. And it's about the drawing. And there's nothing else that can fill that void. There's nothing else I can do that makes me feel the same way. So it's an interesting thing. I don't know whether it's just a part of our brains that we all need a different way of stimulating, but that's mine. Whether it's painting or drawing, I do think the two are quite different. I do feel a lot different when I'm sketching than I do when I'm, you know, sitting there doing a realism painting. I think sketching is more about personality and having a bit more fun and experimenting and not worrying about the result. Now that was my problem in the beginning, was I used to worry about the result all the time. And, oh, it's not good enough and I've ruined the page. But it's totally not about that. And I've heard it before and it sounds really cliche, doesn't it? Oh, it's about the process, not the result. But it is really. And you can always collage over it and do it again if you have to, if it's that bad. But actually, what I've learned doing so much more sketching and doing a lot more experimental things because of Kicking the Creatives, because obviously we can't just preach it, we've got to practice it, we have to do these things. When I look into old sketchbooks, there's like a pencil sketch of maybe a horse on one page, and then there's a pencil sketch of a person on the next, and everything's sort of quite well thought about. And that was all very nice. I looked through the book and it's like, oh, yeah, okay, it's fine. But now there's a blind contour drawing, a self-portrait of blind contour, which is absolutely awful. But when you look at it, it's so fun and interesting to look at. And I'll be, oh, I'll just chuck a bit of colour on, see what happens. And it's really strange because I said to you, Tara, didn't I, the other day, I've got a page of blind contour self-portraits, one of them you don't even think is a human, and yet it's probably one of my favorite pages in my sketchbook because it's just so much, it's just the fun and the not caring. Yeah, that aspect of it is what I liked. So it's a very different feeling than painting.
You wouldn't use anything really much more than pencil either, would you, before?
No.
Because I tried to get you to use, so I really liked the brush pen. I was going, oh, try this brush. She goes, no. try no. But now you love it, don't you?
Yeah, your trash pen. I still don't like that horrible chunky marker you got me, though.
We met
in London. We that's the first place we met. We've met lots and lots of times since. We go on sketching days.
Trip. Yeah.
Yeah. So we go out, we meet. We've done Brighton and London, and we've done London a few times. And we went to the V&A Museum where there's all these casts and busts and statues, and amazing place to sit and draw. And she just, she got out of her bag this great big chunky marker, which was one of those big chisel things. Oh, she said, you've got to try that. It's horrible. I hate it. It's like, thanks. I've still got it. Still don't use it.
I was trying to make you loosen up, wasn't I?
Yeah, because I was still very quite tight at that time. Since then, I decided I was never going to use pencil anymore. I wanted to use pen. So I started using pen, and I hate using pencil now. I love using pen, and I won't use anything different than that well, obviously colour and things like that. But yeah, so, and with the challenges Tara was mentioning, I did before we met, I did something, this doesn't exist now, and it was called the 75 Day Sketch Challenge. And that got me into thinking about how good challenges were. But what I found was that I was always late to these challenges. I'd see these weird hashtags flying around the internet, like hashtag Inktober at the time. I didn't know what that was, and I'd sort of check them out and think, oh god, I would have done that, but I'm like, oh, it's already a week into it. So when we were talking about our challenges, I don't know if you want to go into that, Tara, because I feel like I'm talking a lot. I'm going to get a text in a minute.
I think we should see what Kaylee wants to ask us first.
I'm just loving listening to you. I feel like it's just so nice taking it all in. I'm writing my notes here. I want to hear about the challenges. I think challenges are a great way to infuse creativity, to make really low pressure form of creating. So yeah Tara, let's talk about it.
Okay, so what we decided is we were going to set up this website where throughout the entire year you would be able to do a challenge and it'd be easy to find. So we were going to show Inktober all these big challenges alongside ones that we came up with, and we'd have a group and everything that went with it. So basically, if you turned up on our site at any point, you would be able to take part in something. And the idea was as well, it would get people trying different things. So we might have an abstract challenge one month, and we might have a drawing faces, and then we had a bit of poetry. So we got all these people that are in our group. Well, group now, it started off about 30 people, I think, didn't it? It was like,
yeah,
anybody we could get in there, 30 people in there. And
it was echoing.
We've got people who, they might have never tried to do an abstract, and then suddenly they're trying it and they're like, I'm quite good at this, actually. You know, they've done a few, and maybe they weren't very good at drawing as such, but they're really good at getting a balance when they put colour down and stuff like that. So they're trying all these interesting things that they wouldn't have done. And we have people that just regularly throughout the entire year are doing all these challenges, just keep coming back day after day to, I guess as well, it's good for you. I mean, a lot of people say it's good for their well-being, don't they? We've had people in their group say, one person actually said it got her off her antidepressants. Now, I'm not saying that's something you should do. And obviously she was doing it with other therapists and stuff as well. But it's amazing what art has done for some people in their group. I think we've got about 1,500 people in the group.
Yeah.
Obviously, everybody's not active all the time and people dip in and out. But we've also got people who've had, like, there's a woman who's had a stroke and she uses it for her well-being. And I think also it's helped her, probably her coordination a little bit, you know, drawing regularly. We've had people, someone had suffered from dementia and she liked the idea of the structure. Because I guess when your memory's going, you need that structure in your life. So she wanted to know exactly what she was supposed to do each day when she was taking part in the challenges. So lots of different people doing things. We've had people also who, I'm guessing, I'm reading into this, they're perhaps a bit lonely as well. They're at home. It's quite a solitary thing to do art. And they just come because they make friends there. And we've had people form collaborations. So there's someone who's put a book together of different people's poetry, you know, within the group and outside. So, and loads of little things, like we've had people write a poem and then someone else comes along and goes, do you mind if I draw a picture based on your poem? So lovely little things like that happen in the group as well.
That's amazing. Yeah, I mean,
as much as there's a lot of people in the group, some of them actually been there from day one and they've been doing every single month they've been doing a challenge. It's incredible. But as much as there's a lot more people now, we've noticed that these connections that were made in the beginning have continued, and there are people making new connections, which is lovely. It's really lovely.
So tell me more about the challenges. Is it something every single day with an overarching theme for the month?
Yeah, so each month we will have four challenges. But one will simply be, here's a word for the month, so you can use that. So if someone wants to spend longer on something, like say you were doing paintings like Sandra does, quite detailed paintings, you could spend a month doing that, or write a song or whatever you like, really. But then we'll have three other challenges that tend to be daily challenges. But obviously, it's quite funny because we might say, okay, it's portraits this month. So every day, draw a face or draw a portrait. But you can take that in whatever direction you like. But of course, we don't mind if you want to do a face but take a week to draw one. But people do say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to do it every day. And it's like the whole idea is we set these rules, but they're just this little thing. You take it any way you like. We don't mind what you do, really. It's just a bit of guidance. Because I think people need a bit of structure.
Yeah.
I know I do anyway. So I definitely, to keep me drawing, I do need some sort of challenge, which is quite weird.
Yeah, it's more about getting people to do something creative every day and build a creative habit. That's the message. So if some people dip in and out of various challenges, they might get a bit bored of drawing a face every day for a month. So halfway through, they'll think, okay, well, the other challenge they've got going on is draw with your non-dominant hand. So let's just switch over to that one. We're fine with that. We don't mind. And it was, in fact, because we say, you know, it's more about having fun and creating every day. And these challenges are, you make them work for you. And that's when the lady with dementia said, no, I need the rules. So we were like, okay, no, follow the rules. If you need that, follow them. But if you don't need that, just make them work to fit around your lifestyle. And we have, for that reason, we've got, like Tara said, we've got one where you can do a whole month based around one word. We've got challenges that you can spend 5 minutes on. We've got challenges that are a lot, you know, sort of somewhere in between, just daily challenges. But every challenge that we've designed has been not designed just to have fun. There is a reason behind each one. And for instance, you know, people might think, well, why? What is drawing with my left hand going to do for me? It's just going to make me do rubbish drawings. But there's two reasons, really. The first one is it takes that pressure off straight away. You already know it's going to be a bad drawing. So that takes that side of things out of the equation. You totally forgive yourself. And the second thing is because by drawing with your non-dominant hand, you are stimulating the right side of your brain, or your creative side of your brain. And that's, I believe, been something that's sort of been proved scientifically, that when people draw when people do with their left something with their left hand, it's something more to do with the creative side of the brain, so it triggers more of those signals. So it's quite an interesting thing. So we don't just think, oh, well, that'll be a bit of fun, let's try this. There's always something behind it that will help, even if they don't realize it, will help their skills develop.
Yeah. So what do you think the difference is between, I mean, you're obviously very big proponents of a creative habit. What would be the difference between having that daily habit and maybe using 5 minutes a day every day compared to like sporadic bursts of creativity where, I don't know, once every 6 months you hold yourself down for a whole day and just create?
It's like the gym, isn't it? I think it's like if you go to the gym one day, you just end up a sweaty mess, don't you? You don't actually do anything much at all beyond being a sweaty mess. So I think you just end up being a drawing mess, really, if you do it for a day, don't you? Whereas I think you get that continuous improvement if you do that little bit each day. So I know personally that if I say set myself a challenge to do a watercolour. I really want to improve my watercolour faces. And the first few days, it's just a nightmare. And it's like, oh, these are shocking. And if you were doing that in one day's period, by the end of the day, they'd probably still be shocking. Because I think your mind thinks about it when you're not literally thinking about it, if you know what I mean. So I might sit down on day 7 and suddenly my brain's thinking, I think I know what you're doing wrong. You know, it's kind of clicked. And then suddenly they'll start getting better and they might have a little bit of a dip and then they'll get better. So I definitely think that continuous practice really improves. And you've got to have that improvement, haven't you, to spur you on to do more, I think.
Definitely.
Sandra, you feel the same way?
Yeah, I do. I think Tara's got it spot on that if you, even if it's just once a week and you think, right, I'm going to draw for 5 hours on Saturday. The trouble is, it's actually quite hard to draw for 5 hours. it's actually quite hard to stay in that frame of mind for so long. And whereas if you do 15 minutes a day, you're going to get more out of it, because you're developing the habit and you're just getting a bit of practicing every day. So yeah, I think that's where these challenges are so good to work alongside what you do. I paint, and yeah, I still do that. And generally speaking, I do a few hours on a Saturday and a few hours on a Sunday of painting, depending if I've got something on the go. And then that's completely different. I want to, in order to be able to do those kind of paintings, you've got to keep your skills up, your drawing skills up, because people say it's like riding a bike, but I don't. What do you think about that, Tara? Do you think it's like riding a bike? I think you can really get rusty if you don't use it. So use it or lose it, I think, you know, I've heard the expression. Yeah. And I know it comes back easier if you kind of know the basics, but you do go rusty. So I think just by doing that little bit every day, you're keeping the cogs oiled. And I mean, it certainly works for me that way.
Yeah, I think when I first did that, when we did the alcohol challenge, the drawing one, and I drew that bottle, yeah, the first time doing that shading, that's almost like what you're saying, isn't it? I hadn't drawn by hand for years, and it did feel alien. Mm. It was like, this is just unnatural. And I think you'd have a little bit of that if you're only drawing that cramming that once a week on a Saturday or something. It's not obviously going to be as severe. But it now feels to me that if I don't want to draw digitally anymore, and drawing by hand feels so much more natural than drawing, except that I still do that on my sketch pad sometimes.
There's no undo button in a sketch pad. That's the trouble. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, I've got two questions about your challenges. First question is, do you ever do the same challenge again? And second is, when are you doing the alcohol one again?
Oh, no, the alcohol one was the one we just did together. And we couldn't really do that, because there might be people who develop alcohol issues because of us. We would not recommend that. And so, no, that's not a challenge we do
publicly.
Publicly, no.
yes, were you we in do. Then? Were you in, Kaylee, on that one then?
Totally. Like, basically, that's not my new life goal. I want to know, but you didn't tell us the results then. What were the results? Funny.
The results were very funny. And we think that you are a little bit more creative with alcohol, but we'd actually probably need to do a rerun under more scientific conditions, wouldn't we, Sandra?
I think so. And I think maybe we need to just up the unit slightly, because I'm not sure it made enough difference. But we did things like, I'll tell you what, these challenges, for Tara and I as well, we've done things like, because challenges aren't just sketching challenges, there's also challenges for writers as well. So we do one February Fables, which is where you write your first draft of a children's book in 1 month. So that was one. There's poetry challenges, isn't there, Tara? There's lino cutting challenges, things like that. Mm. Well, you know, I love writing. I've always loved writing, but I've never really had that sort of chance to do it as I'd like to. And but Tara and I decided we would do this February Fables challenge, because it's only right. There's so much work that goes on behind the scenes in Kicking the Creatives that we can't obviously do all of the challenges as well. It would be bonkers. We just couldn't. But sometimes we're like, we've got to do some of this stuff too, because it's only right that we do. And we, Tara? I said,
yeah, I think you
let's
did.
Write,
yeah.
Let's do February Fables. Let's write a children's book, which is definitely something I've always wanted to do. But obviously, because the time for us is, a lot of it is absorbed on all of the background work that goes on behind the scenes, we didn't, you know, have a huge amount of time to do that as well. So what we decided to do, we'd do it like quite a fun way, where we decided we needed to write 500 words a day. Was that right, Tara?
I think it was 250. I can't remember. It was 500.
Yeah, no, it was
250.
It was 500 words a day. But what we would do is I would write 250 words.
You and just, then, oh, I see, 500 between us. Yeah,
between us. So I do 250 words, and then even if the sentence stopped at the word and or but or whatever, it stopped. And then I had to then send those words to Tara, and then she would add her 250 words. We had a character, obviously, but we didn't really have a story. But weirdly, I think we were kind of on the way to the same place. Tara's way was different than mine, and mine was different to her. So I'd get her words back, and I'd go, "What? You know, what? Why would she do this?" And vice versa, she'd go, "Oh, I can't believe you've done this." You know, but somehow because we wrote this book, and actually I'm in the process of trying to illustrate it, even though I'm not an illustrator, but I'm having a go because we'd love to publish it. But somehow at the end of this thing, we came to the conclusion of the book, and it reads as one person has written it, because we write quite similarly in a way. And I love that. Now, that's something we would never have done.
I didn't love it after a while, did I?
You got bored more towards the end, didn't you?
I did get very bored. Because I am much more, I'm not really good at sticking with one. I like to change and experiment more.
So, yes, so I was
like, and please. Yeah.
So she handed the editing part to me. So I did the editing at the end just to make sure it all knitted together, and sent it off actually to a proper editor who looked at it and said, "Oh, you know, you're going to do a sequel."
No.
She just checked out that it was all laid out correctly, which was great. So, yeah, but that's like I said, that's something we would never have done. I really enjoyed when we did that alcohol one, of doing the adverts, creating adverts for the most ridiculous thing, and just using your imagination in a way that you never normally would, which I think Tara is the genius with imagination. Yeah, you really are. She did an episode once on generating ideas.
Oh, is this the one we did together, or is this the one we've done it since? We've done one together, haven't we?
It's so, I said to Tara, take the lead on this episode, because you are so, she's so clever like that. She really is. She would never say it, but she's so, I don't know how her mind works sometimes. Sometimes it's quite, it's quite worrying. It's like, really? Your mind works like that? I don't know how it works like that, but it's just unbelievable. And it does help me sometimes, because I think, oh, what would Tara think? Oh. But you talked about mind mapping and just really interesting way of
stimulate ideas. Because I got to a point in my graphics work that was before I went freelance, and I'd be working, you know, within a company, and you'd get the same job again. So you might have done it a year before, and then you'd get it the following year, or you get it 6 months later, and it's like a revamp. And it's like, oh no, I have to think of more ideas for the same thing again. So I'd started reading loads of books on idea generation, and there's so many ways you can do it. But one of the ways I'd found really useful was this random word idea, where you take whatever problem you're working on, and then because what you tend to do is you tend to go for the old predictables. And even if you're mind mapping, you'll go to what you can already think of. There's no way of breaking you out of that unless you've got other people there. So if you suddenly introduce this random word and say, how can this random word affect my problem? Or how can I introduce an element of that? That tends to spur something new. It's probably not making much sense, am I, how I'm explaining this?
How do you get your random word?
Just go to a random word generator online.
Yeah, which is basically online. Yeah.
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 There's a podcast episode on this, right?
Yeah, I think we've done one. I know there was definitely one of mine, but that's not up anymore. But I think
quite a long time ago.
If someone wanted
to
dig into learning how to generate ideas, where would they go?
Well, can we give you a link for the show notes or something? Do you put show notes up as well?
Yeah.
We can tell you what episode is. We'll dig it out and have a look. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, great. So I'll put it in the show notes, and then if you want to dig into that, there we go. You've got your guides. Great. I want to talk about, I think it's interesting to me the way you separate all of your creative endeavors. For me personally, I just see everything as creative. It's either creative or it's not creative. So I don't like, go, okay, this is sketching, this is illustrating, this is painting, all of that. What I don't know, what makes you like decide today I'm going to paint rather than illustrate or draw or sketch? For me, it's just like, I'm going to create now. How do you know which category to go down?
How you feel, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, if I've got a painting on the go, I've got to do it. It's not going to paint itself, so I'll know that, well, today I really need to get on with this, otherwise it's just going to sit there. So that's quite easy. If I haven't worked on it from one weekend to the next, then I'll make sure that I go back to that. But generally, all of the weekdays I tend to spend on just drawing and sketching, really. You're the same, because you paint as well, Tara, don't you? You don't paint, but you do paintings. Yeah. With
I do faces. I use neocolours. I don't know if you've used those. Do you use those for the journals? Neocolours are like sort of water.
People do,
wax,
but I do not. But your faces are insane. I mean, both of your art is in, like, it's just next level to me. It's like goals. Yeah, but rock the neocolours.
Yeah, so she does.
I probably have a weird way of doing it. It's either a face, or I love sketching outside, but I don't do that enough. And I should make myself do that more. But sometimes it depends where I want to sit. it sounds bonkers. Because basically I've got a converted garage, is my office, and I've got a little side of it is my art stuff. But I don't always like sitting in here. If I sit in here, this is where I do the faces, because they're a bit messy, the near colors. So that's my get messy space sort of thing. But then I just love sometimes just sitting on the sofa or sitting outside, and then I'll just do a more sketchy type thing, because then it's a lap, it's a pen, it's nothing too messy. And I think what I don't like about this office is, and this is a really weird to say, sometimes it feels like work. Sometimes it feels like graphic design, because it's my office and it's not separate, if that makes sense.
Whereas I totally get that, yeah.
Yeah, outside it's then, this is just total for fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sketching outdoors is something that we love doing. But again, it's not quite the same when you're on your own. And funny enough, they've relaxed the rules slightly, haven't they, for lockdown? Because obviously when we're filming this, it's, you know, coronavirus thingy and all that. And we were actually due, weren't we, Tara, to meet? Because we would sort of go maybe three times a year, maybe a bit more, four times a year to go out sketching. We'd meet up. We were due to go out in March, but of course they shut the London down, so we couldn't go.
A week before lockdown, I think.
Yeah. But generally speaking, that's what we love to do. We love to go out and sketch together. And there's nothing like going outside and, you know, sketching outdoors, because it's so easy when you're in a studio to look at photographs and think, oh, I'm going to sketch a person today and look for some inspiration on Google or whatever. And it's not the same at all. It really isn't. Getting out there and doing it from life, it's a completely different experience and you get totally different results. So, yeah, we both love doing that, don't we, Tara? But it could get quite boring if you only ever work in the same room all the time. It can almost sort of, you've got to switch it up a bit, I think.
Yeah, I think sketching outside with someone as well, so we can go out and we can sit there and obviously we'll be chatting, but then when we draw them, we're not chatting necessarily, because you might be over one different, slightly different view to me. So we might be a few metres apart, social distancing, even though we weren't social distancing. and we'll be drawing, but you don't need to say anything because you're both kind of in that dual moment of doing something you both enjoy, and then you'll chat after. But it's just nice because it's just easy like that. Whereas if you're sitting there on your own sketching, sometimes you feel quite self-conscious.
I think when you're on your own, you tend to be much more critical of your own stuff, and you don't look at it properly before you think it's a write-off. And having someone else's opinion there sometimes helps. And I think what's great about Tara and I is that neither one of us, we know each other well enough where, you know, if she said to me, look, really, honestly, what do you think of this? I could say to her, well, I've seen better actually than that one. I don't generally ever say that, but I could. It's like, you know, that does your bum look big in this? You know, a real friend will say, yes, it does. Take it off. And so I think we've well past that level now. And the same vice versa, Tara will tell me if she thinks, oh, maybe
she needs
try
to
this
stop talking.
Yeah. So, but what is good about going out together with someone like that, who you're very confident with, and actually you don't mind if you produce something really bad, you're not embarrassed because you know that person well enough, they know you well enough, you can draw, you just happen to have done a dud one, you know, so that's all good. The last thing you want to do is go out with someone who you feel intimidated by, or the other way around. But interesting, I'm just going to say about when we went to London, Tara, remember?
The rain one.
So we decided, I think it was about March time, so it was spring, and we'd gone to London. It was quite a nice day, and we found this little street corner. Sounds awful. We found this lovely little street, and we thought, oh, this would be a nice little street to draw. And I don't like drawing buildings at all. It's not something I'm interested in, but I know I should work on those a bit more. And so we sat in this at the end of this street and started drawing, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, probably about 5 minutes into this drawing, the heavens opened, and it wasn't just a little shower, it was just torrential, wasn't it, Tara? So we found ourselves running down the street, didn't even have chance to shut our sketchbooks, and just getting under the nearest little porch in a doorway. And of course, I'd actually been using water soluble pen to draw my outlines, and I looked down, and it was just a big dribbly mess. I was like, oh, it's ruined. I mean, I didn't like it in the first place, really, but I thought, oh my God, this is ruined. And Tara looked at it and went, oh my God, I love that. And I was like, what
amazing.
Are you talking about? But what's so funny is, had I have been on my own, that sketchbook page, I would have ripped it out and I would have thrown it in the bin. But what happened was, we went somewhere to get a coffee, and I left this sketchbook open to dry off. And the more I looked at this sketch, the more I could see in it what perhaps Tara had seen. And it's so interesting, because now in that whole sketchbook, it's my favourite one. And at the time, it would have just been an absolute write-off. So it's interesting how just someone else's opinion can actually, you know, make you see things slightly differently in your own work.
Oh, it's like that thing. That thing, isn't it, where you could do two drawings, you can think, oh, I love this one. When I put this on Instagram, people are going to say, oh, I love it. You'll put that one up. I'm like, crickets. The one that you don't like, oh, people think it's amazing. It's so weird.
Isn't that, oh, that's so great. That happens with me too. It's just, it's the weirdest thing.
Mm. Yeah, don't get it at all. We obviously don't know our own work, do we?
Exactly. And I mean, people are going to take it differently every time, and they're going to react the way they've been brought up and their whole life until this point. But aren't people great? I think like it's such a good thing to add to your art, is having other people around you who can help you see things differently, and who can even tell you when something is bad. You know, it's just... We live in a world where we're so lucky to be able to have that. And you guys are both in England, but people who are in a tiny little village are able to connect with someone who has the same mindset around art and who has the same values.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's where, you know, having a Facebook group is so good for that. Because people can really join in and get to know everybody in there, and encourage each other to try things maybe they wouldn't. I mean, there's materials I've tried that I would never have tried in my sketchbook. I would never have fallen in love with my brush pen. Tara, you started using, you wanted to get more into painting, didn't you? So you were trying things like gouache and all these things, and you've settled on Neo colours, which you love. It's just nice to have other people encourage you to try things that you might not otherwise, even
just
if it is something like
things.
Yeah, even if it is writing that you, Tara, don't particularly love doing, but you did it, and we've written a book together, and it's, you know, I think it's a good book. So having people around, I think, is good.
So where's the balance then? Where do you say, like, oh, I should learn to draw buildings, and also, no, I never want to touch that again?
I think I had this not so much with the buildings thing. I had it more with media. I had very much of a should mindset, like you're saying, about I should use paint. So I have in the past, years ago, I used to use watercolours when I was at school, and then I've tried acrylics, but I've never fallen in love with them. But I kept on feeling like to be a proper, in inverted commas, artist, I need to use paint. And I try and I try, and you don't at all. And in the end, I realised that I like doing things with immediacy. So I like doing things that you can, like pastel or crayon or pen or anything like that, where you can immediately put colour down. I don't mind adding water afterwards, but I don't like the whole paint thing. Now, whether I will try it again or not, I don't know, but I've realised that I don't have to try it. There are people who do very well just making things with a bit of charcoal and a pen. You know, people who are selling their work for thousands who do that. So it doesn't matter. It's what works for you. But I think you shouldn't limit yourself at first. So I think it's important to try them. And not just once, because you have that problem where it's, do I not like this because I don't know how to use it properly and I'm not good at it yet? Or do I not like it because I just don't play like it? So I had to get through that, really, I think, as well.
I think that word should as well, that's the word I heard all the time when I was painting, when I started painting, because I paint in a realism style, but in my head, and not just in my head, there were actual people saying, you should loosen up, you need to loosen up, you know, you need to lunge at your canvas and scrub and all this. And then I got quite defiant about it. I was like, well, why? Who says I should? Who made these rules? I don't want to do that. Thank you very much. And it's quite funny because I knew that naturally that was never going to be a natural thing for me to do on a canvas. It was just wasn't me. And I ignored absolutely everybody. And I'm really glad I did, because now I still don't think, oh, I want to loosen up when I paint, because I just paint how I feel it comes natural to me. Whereas sketching, I think, is a whole different thing. That's where you can experiment, have fun, and you can loosen up or not, whatever. But I hate that word should. You know, nobody should feel any need to do something because they feel they should. When it comes to creating, they should just do what they feel they want to do at the time, and that's the only should there should be. I think
but you should try things first, shouldn't you?
Yes. You should try things. Definitely try things. Absolutely try things. 100%.
And more than once, because like we go back to stuff like brush pens. You now love it. And yet the first time, second time you used it, you hated it. And how I used to only ever draw one thing on a page. So if I've got a sketchbook page and I go outside and there's a building, I'll draw the building. Or if there's a person, I'll draw a person. There's that one thing on the page. And Sandra says to me, oh, you should. You should.
How about?
I suggest that you should put little drawings, maybe put a few different drawings on a page. And I go, No, don't want to do that. Anyway, sure enough, about a month later, when it was no longer Sandra's idea, I then tried doing it. And I thought, I really like that. That works really well. So there is something to trying something, but then you have to decide, do I reject this or do I not reject this?
And I wouldn't have a page full of blind contour portraits in my sketchbook, which I love, had I have not been, oh, why don't you do this? You know, sometimes it's just, oh, I'll try this. It's not because we're asking even necessarily. It's just that we throw ideas around. It's, oh, okay, we'll try that. And it's just fun, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, humanity in general has a very precise idea of what being an artist is like, and we've touched on it already. But tell me other ways in which you are not a quote real artist.
Well, we have both now got berets because I bought us some when we went to London.
What?
Berets, you know the French hat.
Oh, beret. Okay.
Oh, do I say it wrong? Beret. Sorry.
You probably said correctly because my accent is always wrong. You do have them.
She bought me this beret when we were in London at the time, and it was so funny because she said, I've got a present for you. I said, oh, I unwrapped it and it was this pink beret, and she had a black one, so we had to put them on and drink our coffee in this coffee shop. It must have looked a bunch of nutters. We definitely didn't look like artists.
No, so we've got that. Stereotypes. I don't know. So what would you call a stereotype artist?
Well, I can say what I think. And this probably won't win me any any fans from the art world, but I do know that a lot of people from art school, they tend to, I don't know what it is. If you think about maybe somebody who loves to wear the real, you know, big scarves wrapped round and plaits and woolly hats and all this, and they just, I don't know what it is, that artists seem to have this real persona, and it's almost like, well, I remember when I very first started painting, and I had this feeling that, you know, I was never going to fit in because, you know, I wasn't mysterious enough. And to this day, I can't tell you how many times, well, I can actually it's not much, it's three times. Three times I've heard someone say to me, but you don't look like an artist. Mm. Hey, well, what does an artist look like then? Am I supposed to be wearing, you know, back combing my hair and having blue and yellow strands? And well, I don't know. What do you think, Tara? It's like an... Sometimes I wonder if people think they should look like that.
Yeah, I think we don't use fancy words. Like, because I listen to some, and I apologize if you say this, Kaylee. I listen to some podcasts, and they always talk about juxtaposition. And like, it's like, I've got to look that up first. You know, some people think they've got to be pretentious about art, and I don't. Yeah. I don't think of it as pretentious. Do you like doing it? Do you not like doing it? Yes, look at other people's work, and you can talk about it. But oh, don't get all, you know, arty farty. I don't think we're arty farty at all, are we?
No. Not at all. Everybody is on the same path. There'll be a few of us are on just different parts of it. We're all on the same path. It's just where you decide to take it. But we all start at the beginning at the end of the day. And that's the point, I think, with Kicking the Creators, what we try and we try and press the fact that everybody is a beginner. And unless you get past that stage where you are bad at it, if there is such things being bad, I've always said you have to accept that you're going to be bad at something before you are ever going to get good at it. And the hardest part is getting through that part where you are creating drawings or sketches or paintings that you think, oh my God, I can't, that'll never see the light of day. It's hard not to get disheartened by that. But all it takes is pencil miles. It just takes time. And it's whether on, and it takes courage to look at those and not be in a permanent state of self-criticizing, you know, because, you know, you're always going to have failures. Even as an established artist years and years later, we're still going to have failures, but you just treat them like a lesson and you move on. It's quite hard to do that in the beginning, I think.
Yeah. I think it's a safe place as well, isn't it? Because probably groups like ours, there are places where people feel they can share and no one's going to come on and say, that's terrible. You know, what are you doing? Because you've done it for fun and you're sharing, but you don't mind constructive criticism. But like, if anyone ever says anything really awful, we just chuck them out. We're not standing for people that, because people are doing this just for enjoyment. If they then go on and then take it somewhere else and, you know, make it into a career, that's fine. But don't knock someone down. That's not helping. That's not encouraging. And I know from things people have said to me in the past, it's like, it's just, it's not going to make you better. That's going to make you stop, someone saying stuff like that.
And you know, the telling thing is the people who have been in the group from the beginning, say 3 years ago, the improvement that we've seen in some of them is phenomenal, isn't it, Tara?
Yeah.
From what they were doing in the beginning to what they're doing now. It's amazing. It's just taken them time and dedication, I think.
I love it. So what would you tell a beginner then?
Start. I think if you get some structure, it's because I'm so unstructured, I need structure. So I need a challenge of some sort. So I think if you join some sort of challenge or a group like yours where you've got that encouragement, you've got a reason to create. Because I think if you decide you're going to draw on your own without some sort of support, unless you're incredibly driven, you're probably not going to do it. You're probably going to do it for a few days, and then, like we do with the exercise thing, then you lapse. So I think definitely you need some sort of support, whether that's one friend, whether that's a group or something, because I know I need that extra push.
And I would say as well that practice is absolutely paramount, is the most important thing, but also actively learning as well. So you'll hear it a lot where, oh, you know, practice makes perfect, but it's no good if you are practicing something over and over again and you're not actually trying to learn what was wrong with it the first time. So go on YouTube, go read books, you know, seek out tutorials, try and actively learn as well. That's the kind of a big part of it. But yeah, I think Tara, you had the most important part. Pick up the pencil in the first place and start, because so many people I know, I wish I knew how to draw. I'd love to have done that. And it's like, well, do it. Do it. You're alive, so do it. You know? Actually, I was listening to a podcast not long ago, and there was a guy on it, and was it a podcast? No, it might have been a TV program. I can't remember exactly, but he was 90, and he'd not long started painting, and he'd just done his first gallery exhibition, and he started painting in his late 80s. Incredible. So it's never too late.
No, I was just, I've got a friend, and she didn't think she could draw really. And I said to her, but imagine if you'd been drawing for the last 20 years. Imagine if you'd thought that 20 years ago. Imagine how good you would be now. And she actually repeated that to me the other day. And she's just been she's just been following little tutorials on YouTube. She was saying it helped, but she's been following little YouTube tutorials. And you can see she's gradually getting better, but she never thought she could draw at all. And then she actually came onto our Zoom thing, one of our Zoom drawing calls. I don't know if we were talking about on the podcast or before, but she started drawing some. She was showing me afterwards. And she says, and one of them did actually look like a face.
Oh, I love that. So if someone wanted to join, yeah, we were speaking about the drawing Zooms before we hit record. Do you want to briefly say what they are and how people could join them?
Yeah, we've done two so far. And all it is within our group, we organised a Zoom call where we would have, well, Sandra actually posed for us for the first two. So Sandra was posing and everybody else was drawing, and we were just doing time drawings, like 5 minutes or poses. We were going to do some more in the future where everybody draws each other. So yeah, if you join the group, you'll find out about those.
So how would they join your group?
They just go to kickingthecreatives.com. That's our main website. But we've also got a Facebook group of the same name. So if you go to Facebook, search Kicking the Creatives, and you'll find it there.
You'll find it, but there's also a page, so don't get confused about the page. The page is one thing. The group is where you'll just have to answer a couple of questions to be able to join, just so we can rule out anyone who's just there for the wrong reasons. And then, you're in.
Yay. And your personal Instagrams?
Oh, yeah. Tara Roskell, which is just my name, basically.
And mine's Sandra.Busby. I'm not the most active person on my personal one because... Well, I'm a bit slack with social media. I really need to sort that out. But yeah, I'm on it. I always put my latest paintings up and things like that. So
yeah, I know. I'll be sure to put all of your links, everything, in the show notes.
Brilliant. Thank
Great.
You.
Great.
Yeah. Thank you so much for chatting with me today. You ladies are so wise, and I feel like your connection and your community and everything together, it's just like it's. Excites me so much. Thank you so much for chatting today.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Thank you for calling us wise. I think that's a first as well.
Wow, yeah. Wow. First for me.